sports, politics, life. Amazing Garage Floors presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at AmazingGarageFloors.net.
Nobody thought there'd be a point this year where we'd get worked up over the Royals, but it happened on Wednesday night, and it happened in a big way. As my phone was blowing up, as my mom was calling me wanting to fire the manager, as all heck was breaking loose on social media, the Royals pissed away another game, and it's completely and utterly stupid and embarrassing what this team is doing. There is no team in baseball that has so much good going on right now and doing so little with it. The Royals literally have the best starting pitching in the major leagues. They have two superstar players in Bobby Witt and Salvador Perez. Mikael Garcia in the leadoff spot is a budding superstar player that has had a phenomenal first week for the Royals. They're largely playing pretty good defense. They're doing a lot of things right. The starting pitching's insane. Cole Reagans was unhittable on Wednesday night. And the Royals have no bullpen. The bullpen has literally given up more runs than the starting pitching through six games. The Royals are 2-4, could be 5-1, should be, absolutely should be, no excuses, should be 4-2 right now. They've been that good at all the things you're supposed to be good at baseball. Starting pitching, fielding, home runs, run production, getting leads. They're just doing it every night. Two nights in a row, they get two of the games in Baltimore, they get 3-0 leads and wind up losing in walk-off fashion to the Orioles. This was a disaster. It was a 5-hour rain delay. They sat around all day. The Royals dominated for 2 hours. There's one out in the eighth inning, and all hell breaks loose. And the Royals lose this game, and it's just completely embarrassing. Will Smith is just awful. He's dreadful. They're paying him $5 million. They promised him if he signed here, he could come be the closer. Now, he did a nice thing. He recruited a couple of his buddies to come here. Seth Lugo, Waka, some of the veteran guys that came here. He was a big part of recruiting them and getting them to come here and play for incentives and whatnot and things of that nature. But the guy can't pitch anymore. You got a closer out there that he's a big strapping dude. He's throwing an 87-mile-an-hour pitch. He's nibbling on the edges because he knows if he throws it over the plate, they're going to crush him. His change, there is no changeup. When your fastball is 90 or whatever it is, 89, there's no changeup for that. An 84-mile-an-hour changeup is not enough of a changeup from an 89-mile-an-hour fastball. This guy has nothing, and you can see he has nothing, and they trotted him out there again last night with a one-run lead, and he blows it. This is a joke. You cannot, I will not take the Royals seriously if they don't fix this bullpen and fast. The easiest way to fix the bullpen right now is to sign Trevor Bauer, the longtime starting pitcher, Cy Young Award winner just a couple of years ago, was given a 324-game suspension by Major League Baseball for sexual assault allegations that never were prosecuted. He was never found guilty of anything, and he countersued and won a dollar from the alleged victim, and it looks more like extortion and blackmail than anything else. We've talked about Trevor Bauer a bunch on this podcast. This guy can pitch. He signed a 5-game contract with the Mexican team. He will pitch in Japan like he did last year if he has to. 11-4 with a 2.59 earned run average last year. This guy was a Cy Young winner. He's only 33 years old. And the simple solution here is to sign him and convert him to closer. You can't do any worse than what you're doing. Don't alter your team. Don't alter your rotation. Now, the Cubs were flirting with this, apparently, because they've got a couple of starting pitchers injured already. And people in Chicago seem to think that the Cubs know something about Trevor Bauer that baseball teams know, but the public doesn't know. And that's why he's not getting a chance in Major League Baseball. And I would say this. How many players do Major League teams know something about that we don't know and they're playing? 100? That'd be my guess. Sports is filled with athletes that have done something that we don't know about and teams know about, and they're playing. But with Trevor Bauer, he can't. So I did a little more research last night after the game on Trevor Bauer and what's going on here. The suspension was ridiculous. 324 games. Everything went wrong with the victims, the alleged victims. Okay? And everything went right for Trevor Bauer. No, the police didn't. He didn't, no jail, no prosecution, nothing here. There's nothing here. There's literally nothing. Baseball reduced the suspension down to something like 180 games or whatever because they knew they'd made a mistake and they were losing on this. I don't know what's going on with Trevor Bauer, and there may be something else. He's all over social media. A lot of people don't like that. NBC Sports one time called him, quote, extremely online, unquote. Oh, that's okay for the Kardashians and singers and rappers, but a baseball player can't. Let me tell you why he's extremely online. He is a Trump supporter. He was upset when he pitched for Cleveland that they got rid of their logo, Chief Wahoo. He thought it was a longstanding tradition and symbol for the team. He was outspoken against Barack Obama. Oh, there's all kinds of stuff that people would say Trevor Bauer is extremely online. I know because I live that existence. People think I'm extreme. It's absurd. This is absolutely absurd and ridiculous. And I think Trevor Bauer, as much as anything else right now, is not in baseball because he's a Trump guy and he's going to speak his mind. And if some reporter walks up in the clubhouse and asks Trevor Bauer a question about the election, he's going to answer it. And he's going to answer it a lot like I'd answer it and a lot like you'd answer it. And I think he's getting blackballed for politics as much as anything else. I cannot think of a reason why he's not pitching. And J.J. Piccolo and John Sherman and the Kansas City Royals, if you are not making this call today, you are not a serious organization. Let the public decide if they hate this guy. If he comes in, doesn't perform, there's backlash, cut him loose. Sign him for $1 million, lots of incentives, and say, we're going to make you our closer. You're going to come in and throw 12 to 15 pitches every night as hard as you can because he's a power pitcher, and you're going to save our season. Trevor Bauer at age 33 would be an incredible closer. The Royals clearly don't need him as a starting pitcher. They don't. They need him in that role where you never see him until the game is on the line in the ninth, and he is a fiery competitor. This is the easiest decision the Royals could ever make. And if not, somebody in baseball needs to come out and say, no, there's also this about Trevor Bauer. He can't pitch. There is no reason he can't pitch. He is ready. He's ready to pitch. This is I seriously cannot take the Royals seriously on this thing. I can't do it. If they don't make a move in this bullpen. And the answer, I don't think, is a guy that we've seen this year. One of the other relievers, although that would be better than Will Smith. Will Smith looks like the kind of guy when you're down 5-0 in the fourth and you take your starter out, you hand Will Smith the ball. Noah Syndergaard is out there. Now, he had struggled in the last couple of seasons, and we don't know if there's anything left in the tank there. But he'd been a starter and got knocked around, and he's willing to become a reliever. I'll take a look. I'll take a look at Noah Syndergaard in the ninth inning instead of Will Smith. Will you? Will you look at Trevor Bauer and give him a shot? This is just ridiculous. I mean, this is you can't make this up. Baseball suspended him 324 games. They knew they were wrong. They shortened the suspension. They tried to arrest and jail this guy. They failed. The accusers basically were blackmailers and extortionists. And he countersued and won a countersuit and settled for $1. 11-4, 2.59 earned run average last year in Japan as a starter. I think he can come in and pitch a clean ninth. That's really what the Royals need. That doesn't fix all their bullpen problems. They've got problems getting to the ninth. But right now, they've got a massive ninth inning problem. Folks, the game, and listen, I'm okay if the Royals just start out right now and say, we're going to start each night with a reliever. Hand Brady Singer the ball in the third inning. I'm okay with that too. But you still don't have an answer in the ninth. What are you going to do, bring Brady Singer in the fifth? You're going to go four innings with relievers and then bring in Brady Singer and Cole Reagans and let them finish off the game? I'm not saying I've got the answer, but what they're doing is not going to work. They're going to find themselves in such a hole they can't get out of it. The problem is I wouldn't care. I wouldn't give two spits about any of this. Except, my God, watch them play. They've got stuff. They've got players. They've got things. They've got what it takes. They've got starting pitching. They've got a lineup. They got guys that can hit. Hunter Renfroe made a catch in right field last night, fielded a ball off a smash down the line, and turned around at the wall and threw it on a dime to second base and got the runner out to keep him from getting a double. It was one of the most freakish plays you've ever seen. And Hunter Renfroe is part of the Royals' problem. He started the season 0 for 15 before he finally got a single. He's struggling and contributing. There are dudes out there making plays and doing things. They've got a pinch runner late inning that stole second and stole third to tie a game in the ninth inning two nights ago. They have all the pieces. Take a couple of the starters that you cut and sent to the minors and bring them up. I'll take a look at Daniel Lynch in the ninth inning. Let's go. The season is on. This counts now. This is not surprise freaking Arizona. You cannot run Will Smith out there again in the ninth inning. Somebody else gets the next shot. I'm sorry. That's it. End of conversation. You can't do it. I don't care what you promised him in the offseason. This is awful. This is dreadful. And it's at the beginning of the year where it's magnified, it's painful, and you're looking. God, I can't believe I'm getting worked up over this. I would not care. Except it looks like they have everything else they need to win this pathetic division they're in. I'm not saying they're World Series champions. That roster, that team looks like they have everything they could possibly need to win this division, except for eighth and ninth inning in the bullpen. And that just doesn't seem that hard. Go down to Double A, man. Find me some 22-year-old kid, 21-year-old kid that throws at 99 miles an hour. I don't care. Give me the two hardest throwers you have. Get them up here and just tell them to rear back and rip. Throw fastballs. See what happens. The guy literally is a nibbler. Will Smith is a nibbler at this point in his career. He's working around the edges. He comes in and throws five straight balls with a one-run lead. Walks a dude. Then what's he do? He has to put one right over the middle, base hit, first and second, nobody out. The game's over at that point. The game is over. You know it's over. Is Quintero coming out? Is he replacing him? Is there anybody else warming up? Nope. It's Will Smith's game to lose. Where did he sit on the airplane? Jessica says, where does he sit on the airplane? All by himself, back in the back? How's that flight home? You just lost two games in Baltimore because of Will freaking Smith. Where does he sit? Who's his buddies? Look, they're teammates. They probably pat him on the shoulder and say, get him next time. That's what teammates do. But J.J. Piccolo and McAtero are paid big money to make these decisions, and Will Smith is out. He is a long reliever at best right now. Maybe he finds something. Maybe he gets better as the season goes on, but he's not going to find it in the ninth inning. Pick one. Pick somebody. Pick anybody. The Royals are home for four against the White Sox. This matters. This matters. We love to do new welcomes for sponsors. Stroud's Chicken and Stroud's Catering is on board with KKHI. This is a proud tradition in Kansas City, a trusted brand since 1933. Mouthwatering chicken dinners for Kansas Cityans for generations. Right now, fast, affordable, and reliable, Stroud's Catering offers full service and express-style drop-off options to suit your needs. From weddings to corporate lunches, the diverse menu and professional service, it's going to make the crowd go wild. Stop ordering pizza and barbecue at every time you get together. Stroud's Catering's got this. Online at stroudscatering.com or call 913-563-5799. We love that. Did you know they'll come to your event and actually pan fry the chicken at your event? If you're going to have a pool party or a family reunion or one of those big picnic things somewhere in the park this year, and you got a big group coming together, they will come out and pan fry it on site. It's amazing what they do. Stroud's Catering, delicious. Don't forget their two great restaurants in the Northland at Oak Ridge Manor and Overland Park at 135th and 69 Highway. Why settle for simple and ordinary when you can go with Stroud's Catering and take it all to new heights? 913-563-5799. Online at stroudscatering.com. A proud Kansas City tradition. We love them. We welcome them aboard. Boy, we had a lot of stuff going on yesterday in the shadows, in the shade, in the aftermath of the vote on Tuesday that Jackson County has denied the Royals and Chiefs funding for 40 years for Arrowhead improvements and a new ballpark for the Royals. And it didn't take long. The Chiefs met with Kansas officials on Wednesday. Immediately, the day after, they met. They immediately met. The Chiefs are taking The Chiefs are now taking over the lead on this. They're in the driver's seat. I got an email from a gentleman I read this morning who lives in Missouri. He says, Kevin, I like you. I love your politics. I really appreciate you. My God, you're the most sickening pro-Kansas guy I've ever heard. I've always said this, so I've been consistent on this. Kansans don't think like that. He labeled me as a Kansan. We don't think like that. We think of Kansas City as a region. And Missourians have this thing about Kansas that they don't like, that they get hung up on. And that's okay. You get to be you. I get to be me. Let me state this perfectly clearly. I'm only interested in the Royals and Chiefs remaining in this region. I don't care where they play. Okay? They get to make decisions on their own. The voters did the Royals a huge favor. I put a video on X yesterday. It's got like 50,000 views at this point that the Royals got a favor done by the voters. Because the people down there where that stadium was going to be don't want the Royals, and the people in the suburbs don't want to drive down there to watch the Royals. So they did the Royals a huge favor. I think the Royals are going to look at North Kansas City, and I've said from the start, that's my favorite site. Of the ones the Royals trotted out, North Kansas City, easily the best site, and I think that county will pony up the money the Royals want. I don't think that's a problem. I think Plan B is better than Plan A. Now, the Royals may want to talk to Kansas. I don't know. Maybe they want to get closer to the wealthier, wider suburbs like the Braves, like the Diamondbacks want to do, like the Rays are doing, like Oakland is doing, like a lot of teams are doing. Maybe that's what they want to do, but there's plenty of that in North Kansas City. I think North Kansas City is the place for the Royals. That's my pick number one and has been from the start, so I don't know how that's pro-Kansas. What I said in a patron podcast yesterday when I heard this meeting had occurred was very simple. Dan Reichman is the former Speaker of the House in Kansas. He's the longest tenured speaker ever. He's a conservative from Olathe, and he gave a great quote yesterday that we are on this as the state of Kansas. Quote, for the Chiefs only, not the Royals. For the Chiefs, quote, there is a mad scramble for the ball now, and we're in the best position to scoop and score. And he's exactly right. Kansas can steal the Chiefs, and they can do this in short order. I would think within a week or two, the state of Kansas could enter in an agreement with the Chiefs for exclusive negotiating rights for a new stadium and say, this is it. You will only negotiate exclusively with us for a long time period, you know, 90 days, however long it may be. We want a window to come up with a deal that you'll accept. The state of Kansas has sports betting. 80% of the profits from sports betting by law go to sports teams. It's a slush fund, essentially, to lure sports operations to the state of Kansas. It's recruiting. So they're anticipating that'll be $10 million by next year, and that's over the first 3 years or so. Over the course of a typical 30-year lease, if they built the Chiefs a new stadium, we're probably looking at $150 million the Chiefs would get over that time period just from sports betting. And the more sports betting there is, the more the Chiefs make. They're willing to just hand this to the Chiefs every year. Right now, it's basically a $4 million check every year to the Chiefs. Here you go. Here's your take of the sports bets from the state of Kansas. Thank you. It's not going to schools. It's not going to this other, not going to roads. They've taken 80% of this money and said, we're going to give this to a sports team to move here. They did this 3 years ago when they passed their laws. Kansas has been thinking about this for a long time, and they have been locked in on the Chiefs, not the Royals. Kansas wants the Chiefs. Jackson County voted no. Clark Hunt, at his core, loves his dad, loves his family, loves Arrowhead, and loves the tradition. What I said on the Patron podcast, and I will stand by, my prediction is Kansas will do something so large, so big, and so outrageously great for the Chiefs that Clark Hunt's going to forget all about the tradition of Arrowhead. I think the Chiefs are headed to Kansas. And I've not thought that until yesterday. I didn't think that Tuesday when it failed. I thought it yesterday when the Chiefs immediately met with Kansas officials and Reichman came out publicly and said, we're in the best position to scoop and score here. Both teams say they are not talking to the Jackson County Executive's Office. That is Frank White. I am not pro-Kansas in any way. I want these teams to get what they want, and I want them to stay here the rest of my life and my kids' lives and all your lives. I want these teams here. This Dallas mayor story that's floating around is a joke. It's an absolute joke. National media outlets have picked it up. It makes it look like Kansas City doesn't want the Chiefs and Royals. And the Dallas mayor has said, We are ready to talk to the Chiefs about moving them to Dallas. We're a big enough city to have two professional football teams, the Chiefs and the Cowboys. This is an absolute joke. Clark Hunt is not moving back this team back to Dallas. It's staying right here. The Kansas City Chiefs and the logo and all of those things is what matters. He's not doing that. Kansas is going to save the day. Now, can Missouri match it? Maybe. Depends on whether there's exclusive negotiating rights or not. I mean, the governor of Missouri can get involved. You could take this thing in or out of Jackson County. If the Chiefs went alone, I said it yesterday, if they go alone in August and won a 3/8 cent sales tax, I'd be willing to bet Jackson County votes yes for the Chiefs. They just voted no on a downtown stadium for the Royals. That's why it was a no. If you say we're going to give the Chiefs 40 years of this and they're going to stay at Arrowhead, they may stay. Clock is ticking for Kansas. They got to blow them away. I think it's real easy for Kansas to come up with $1 billion. They're flush with cash right now. They have the sportsbook money that would be coming in. They have star bonds, which are available, which Sporting Kansas City used to build their stadium, which NASCAR used to build the Speedway. The same play can be had there. Both of those entities have done very well. In fact, Sporting Kansas City did so well. They still owe, what a star bond is, it says we will bond this money and pay for your stadium for you, and you pay us back with the sales tax revenue over time, however long that takes. We collect the sales tax. When we do, it pays off the bond. The Chiefs are in it for nothing. If the Chiefs only want to put in $300 million, I'm pretty sure the state of Kansas and Wyandotte County will welcome the Chiefs there for that. The star bonds will pay for it. Sporting owed money when Oracle bought Cerner. And so basically they had control of Sporting. So it's a change of ownership. And in the contract, again, my numbers are fuzzy here, but they still owed something like $17 million in back taxes, Sporting Kansas City did. The state of Kansas negotiated out for a fraction, like $6 million, like pennies on the dollar, and let them off. This just happened last year. Sporting made millions of dollars off these star bonds. They're still gaining from doing a deal with Kansas. Kansas is just giving it away. The Chiefs see that. The Chiefs see what Sporting got. They're like, what? They didn't have to pay it all? They eventually got out of it? You just let them walk on it because they've been so good for the economy here? The Speedway's done. I mean, it's ridiculous. I'm not rooting for Kansas. I'm certainly not rooting for the Royals to move to Johnson County or near me. Most Johnson Countyans I know don't want them. They don't want the traffic. They don't want people coming here. They don't want any of it. I don't think a lot of people in Kansas are rooting for anything other than the pride of having a football team. I don't know who wants the Royals. If I were the Royals, I'd be on my knees right now talking to the folks in North Kansas City saying, you know, that site looks pretty good to us right now. What can you do for us? They were offering a half cent straight to the Royals, not 3/8 of a cent split with the Chiefs. They were offering a half cent. And if they develop it and build around it and increase sales taxes over the years, the Royals would make even more and more and more and more and more in that county. This is wild. But please, I appreciate your stance, and I know it sounds like that, and I say I live in Lenexa a lot and things like that. I really don't care, man. This is my city. This is my area. I don't care whether the Royals and Chiefs are in Kansas or Missouri. I'm past that. The sports complex is an era gone by. If the Chiefs want to stay and do a bunch of renovations and build some stuff around it, I'm cool with that. The Royals have said they're leaving there. The Royals are leaving the Truman Sports Complex. That's done. That's done. They've made that decision. They're going to find the best place in Kansas City. And if they don't figure that out in the next year or 18 months, they will start to talk about Nashville. Because John Sherman can double his money by moving to Nashville. It's a $400 million buyout, which sucks. You got to pay $400 million to move your team. They'd make that back in a heartbeat in Nashville. It's wild, man. It's wild what's going on. KKHI is brought to you by bstock.net. My buddy Chris sent me a text this week, says he's got Apple iPad Pros 20% below Apple price. They're brand new, in the box, full warranty. They've got tons of them. They have so many to choose from. You can walk right into Bstock, 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe, or you can order online at bstock.net. Again, Apple iPod Pros 20% below the Apple Store price. Right now. Brand new, in the box. If you're not buying your electronics, your computers, your accessories, your televisions at B-Stock, I mean, it's just sitting there for you, folks. Tell your friends, too. It's just sitting there. We have a very unique opportunity in Kansas City to buy electronics at prices nobody else in America gets. Bstock.net. Tickets for Less is ready to go here with the Royals this season. They got a cool thing going on. They have something called the 7-for-7 promotion. If the Royals score 7 runs, which they did Sunday, if they score 7 runs, any order on the entire site of ticketsforless.com is 7% off for 24 hours. We're using the promo code Royals7. So a lot of times your order may only be 5% off with KKHI. This saves you even more. And if you're buying something big or a whole bunch of tickets to Kenny Chesney or something, that could save you some giant money. Remember that all season long, Royals7. What I really like at Tickets for Less right now is they have a free contest, no purchase necessary. You got a chance to win a $50 gift card and an autographed baseball from ticketsforless.com. Here's their contest. Go to ticketsforless.com, click on MJ Melendez Home Run Sweepstakes. Here's how it works. When MJ hits a home run, one person is drawn randomly, and you get a $50 gift card and an autographed baseball. You can root every night while you're watching the Royals. No purchase necessary, folks. This is a contest. It's an absolutely free contest. Just go to ticketsforless.com, click on MJ Melendez Home Run Sweepstakes, and you can win $50 and a base autographed baseball. That's pretty cool. But you can only win once, so once you win, you're out. You're bumped from the system. But they're chosen completely at random. I don't know what the guy's going to hit, 15, 20 homers. There's going to be a bunch of winners this season. So let's go. Get signed up at ticketsforless.com. My friends at EarthFX Outdoor would love to come do some work for you, whether it's just spring cleanup and laying some mulch down, trimming your bushes, or whether you'd like to build something cool, like an outdoor kitchen, a fire pit, or a waterfall. EEOutdoor.com, anywhere in the Kansas City area. That's EEOutdoor.com. And my friends at MyPillow have a $25 extravaganza going on right now. We talked about this a couple of days ago. Multiple items, $25. Multi-use MyPillows, MyPillow sandals, six-pack towels, brand new four-pack dish towels, and for the first time ever, premium MyPillows, all new Giza fabric, any size, any loft level, even king size, just $25, and it's free shipping. Call this number, 800-923-9034. That's 800-923-9034. Or go to MyPillow.com and use your promo code KKHI. It's a $25 extravaganza. UConn finally made it to the Final Four. They arrived, Connecticut's the favorite. They play Saturday. They were in Storrs, Connecticut yesterday at the airport, ready to go, and their plane didn't arrive. And then it still didn't arrive. And then it still didn't arrive. This is a charter. The plane was stuck in Kansas City. The plane was stuck in Kansas City with a mechanical problem. The plane was stuck in Kansas City for so long, they had an option of flying to Cincinnati, getting on another plane that was so small, they'd have to stop and refuel before getting to Phoenix. This is the NCAA at its worst. All the charter companies, all the things that they spend money on, this is the Final Four week. You change your policy the Final Four week. Where's Robert Kraft? Why couldn't he have sent the Patriots plane over for him? Said, hey, we got you. You know, somebody like that, it would have been a real nice gesture. But no, they wait and they wait and they wait, and then they get to a point where if the plane from Kansas City gets here, here's the problem. The captain and the crew will have worked too many hours, so they can't fly, so we'd have to find new people to fly this plane to Phoenix. It was a complete mess. I don't think they flew the Kansas City airplane. I think they found other ways there. They were supposed to arrive there at 6 o'clock in Phoenix, and they arrived at 6:15 a.m. I don't know if it matters for the game or not, but UConn was up all night. Those players were up all night long. They arrived in Phoenix at 6:15 a.m. Connecticut time. And they're exhausted. But they're young kids, and they've got until Saturday, and they're really, really good, and we'll see how that plays out. But I just thought it was kind of interesting that there's a Kansas City link to that, because, of course, there's a Kansas City link to that. Podcast reminder here. I'm going to start mentioning from time to time. I mentioned the KK List, which is where all the sponsors are. The KKList.com. It's a neat little resource for you if you want to patronize the sponsors. But I'm starting to do these videos every day now, and I'm getting like 50,000 views on Twitter of the videos. And it's basically a hot take each day, about a minute long, not much more than that. And then I send it to Jessica, and she's putting it on Facebook. What I'm asking is if you would follow me on X or Facebook and either repost, like, thumbs up, whatever, be awesome. What I have basically on social media on X is 20,000 leftover followers from my radio days, the majority of whom are liberals and don't like me. So there's a lot of spewed hate on there, and I'm thinking about maybe, I think there's a way I can shut that off where you don't see that or I don't see it or whatever. I really don't know. I don't know that much. So I don't look at it. I just post and I'm done. You should be on X. If you're a conservative now, you should be on X. Elon Musk owns this thing. It's a fair platform. It's honest. It's a great way to follow things that are going on. You don't have to post. People think that if you get on social media, you have to post things. You don't have to post a thing. Most people don't. But it's a great informational resource to see what's going on in the world. I recommend X. I'm not on Facebook. I didn't get on Facebook years ago because I figured everybody I went to high school with wants to be my friend or whatever, and then I have to accept them and go to their kids' birthday parties and stuff, and I can't. I'm not gonna. I'm just not that guy. I'm not that social. I saw it as more as social, and I saw X as more as media. So Jessica's on there, but it's KK Has Issues, both of them. We're KK Has Issues on Facebook, KK Has Issues on X. I've tried to put these videos on Truth Social, and they won't take them. It's not that they won't take them. It's like they don't have the technology or something. I try to post them and it just spins and says, sorry, server won't connect, whatever, and it doesn't work. So you may be on Truth Social. I'm on there, but I've only got 115 followers. So I'm really not active on Truth Social. X is a safe place now. Elon Musk has saved the day. It's an election year. You should be on there. I don't care who you are and you've never been on social media. Just get on. Start with following me. You'll see some people that I retweet. When I retweet them, you can follow them. People like Libs of TikTok, Clown World, some funny people that are out there, some news agencies. There's good stuff. You'll like it. You'll like what you see. And if you get on there, I'd appreciate if you reposted on your site my stuff. Then people maybe see yours, whatever, because you're going to get some followers. Same thing on Facebook. So please go there. The videos will be up most days. I'm not going to do them every day. Most days the video will be up, and there'll be some sort of a take on there. And we're going to try to build those numbers and see what that does. I think it's important in election year. I've not really tried to do this in 3 years. I think it's important to try to build those numbers and see if it doesn't lead to more people listening to the podcast. Ultimately, that's the goal, especially in an election year where we can maybe affect some elections around here locally. I think it's important, and I'd love to have you as my teammate. So consider following us on X at KK Has Issues or Facebook KK Has Issues. Be pretty cool stuff. All right, on to the news. And gas prices are $3.50 nationally. That's a 45% increase since Joe Biden took over. Is he doing everything he can to lose the election? He has nothing in the strategic reserves, and he's not refilling them. He's so anti-petroleum, anti-gas, anti-fuel, they're apparently just going to go out in a blaze of glory this November, torch everything behind him and say, you know what? We'll be remembered by the hard left as the people that really fought for them. What's he doing? Summer's around the corner. People take vacations. They don't want to spend $3.50 a gallon. If there's no reserves, what do we got here? We looking at $4.25, $4.50 coming up this summer when people really start driving? He's also cutting Medicare Advantage, a little known story. It's a small cut, but a bunch of people in Florida, a report out of Florida says, will be affected. $400 a year it will cost them more for Medicare Advantage. It affects 33 million seniors. So literally Joe Biden is out there saying Trump is going to cut Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, all these things. And he's the one cutting that. And I don't know what he's decided. I'm guessing he's decided I've lost the senior vote. So what do I care? I'll cut this on these people because they're not voting for me anyway. Seniors tend to be more conservative and Republican. These aren't my voters. If it's only half of the Medicare Advantage recipients, then I guarantee you there's something targeted about that group that they're mostly conservative. I don't know anything about Medicare Advantage. I know nothing about it. But it sounds to me like they've targeted some Trump voters here and said, we're going to make you pay more. Because that's just what they do. They're militant. They're weaponizers. They basically, because they're in charge, attack people that support the other party. That's who they're after. And they go after them at every turn. But I'll be darned if it doesn't feel like this is, you know, Joe Biden out there doing everything he can to lose an election. Because it seems like everything they do is the wrong thing. And it hurts people. But I'm guessing if we took a deeper dive, what we'd see is it's mostly targeted toward conservatives. And that's the people they're hurting. Cross Kitchens KC is Kansas City's remodeler, online at crosskitchenskc.com. Tim Cross would love to come meet with you in your home and talk to you about a small project or a big project. Just give him a call at 816-898-7047 for crosskitchenskc.com. Buck Disposal is your answer. Whether you're a company or an individual, it's your answer for getting stuff hauled away from either your job site or your home and not dealing with some out-of-town big corporation that leaves that dumpster sitting in front of your house for days. No, no. Buck Disposal will bring it in the morning and take it at the end of the day if you'd like them to. Customer service is everything. BuckDisposal.com, part of the Buck Roofing family. 913-242-7695. They will haul it away and take care of it for you. BuckDisposal.com. And my man Gary Joslin over at Joslin's Jewelry. Mother's Day is not too far away. You might want to consider something sparkly. We had a lovely couple celebrating their, it was a strange anniversary, like 33rd anniversary or something. But it had been like 8 years since their 25th, and they came to the patron party. And he said, yeah, I got her a nice ring for her 25th, but she's, man, 33. And like, there's what, 33? He's like, it had just been 8 years. It was time. They went in. You should see this lady's ring. It's just beautiful. They had gone to Joslin's and worked with Dave over at Joslin's and said, yeah, we listened to the podcast and came in. And they're just so happy with the service they got, the beautiful diamond they got, and the price that they paid. That's Joslin's Jewelry. Wild story about John Bartram. You may remember John Bartram, the owner of Jericho Home Improvement, was on a million commercials in Kansas City, TV commercials, radio ads, the whole thing. Was always talking about his Christian faith, named his company Jericho. And he wound up getting murdered at a gas station in January, 63rd and Prospect, late at night. They did not charge the man who killed him. And everybody was immediately like, what? I'm still like, what? Because this still doesn't sound right to me. It sounds sort of right. I think we know what happened. I think we know John Bartram was inebriated in some way. He pulled in to get gas right up next to another car who was finishing pumping. This dude was a DoorDash driver. He did not know the man. He didn't pull up specifically to buy drugs. He was almost out of gas and was on his way to the casino. He had a load of cash on him to go to the casino. Still had a ways to go, but he only had a splash of gas in his tank and was worried about running out. So he pulls over to get gas, and according to the DoorDash driver, Bartram walks up to the window of the car. And the driver immediately knew, uh-oh, he's coming up to see if I've got drugs. He says, you got anything? And he said, all I've got is marijuana. He goes, I need something harder. I'm looking for something harder like coke. I got lots of money. And he pulled out a lot of money and he flashed cash. This all according to the driver. Driver said he was clearly high. He lunged into the car and grabbed him with both hands. That's when the driver shot him because he was scared for his own well-being. The driver then drove off. A lot of that doesn't add up. There's video that I've not seen, but apparently the family has seen and maybe some media people have seen. They're soft on crime here at 63rd and Prospect. We don't even have a description of the driver, the DoorDash driver. They didn't give the name, but we don't have a description. Was this a black man shooting a white man? If the roles were reversed, we can ask a million questions. We don't know. There's still a lot of things to be answered, but apparently there's video surveillance that people have seen now that Bartram goes up to the car. And the car starts to pull off. And as it slowly starts to pull away, Bartram puts the money on the ground and the SUV backs up. And it backs up to where Bartram is. And then you see Bartram go down and then the car speeds off. That's what there are reports on Channel 41 occurred through video surveillance. Man, I don't know. I really want to trust prosecutors here, but it's hard. It is hard to trust the prosecutors. I trust the cops, But I think them turning the information over isn't enough. We need to see this video publicly. We need to see it publicly. John, look, a lot of you, if you don't watch TV or whatever, you don't know who John Bartram was. I never met the man. I don't know him. But he clearly was a public figure of some sort and was doing a stupid thing. I can't even sit here and say I feel bad for the man. If he's high on something, driving to the casino with wads of cash all by himself and approaching a stranger's vehicle at a gas station at 63rd and Prospect, you just get stupid painted right on your forehead. I'll take a Sharpie and write right on your forehead, stupid. Okay, that's stupid. I understand if you need gas and you're going to the casino, don't be high or whatever. Or let's just give him the benefit of the doubt and say he wasn't and he just needed gas. If you pull over and you need gas to get to Ameristar, which is probably where he was going, or Harrah's, if that's where you, if that's what you need, put your gas in and get on your way. Be gone. But that didn't occur. So I can't see him really as innocent. This isn't, he was sitting in a car and somebody came up to rob him and steal his money and shoot him dead. Apparently the money was still on him. That's a sad deal, man. That is a sad deal. We make choices in life and we all make dumb choices. We've all made really bad choices. I don't think I've made a choice that bad. Do not think I've made a choice quite that bad. Our final today is brought to you by Finch Knife Co. Online at finchknifeco.com. Now featuring the new Hellfire design with three different handles. Finch Knife Company, Shields in Overland Park. Either place stocks the Hellfire or any knife that Finch has ever made. Or if you and your company would like to buy multiple knives and put your logo on the blade, they can do that for you as well. And you can send them to your clients, your best clients, a birthday present. We've had people say they bought 30 or 60 or 100 of these knives and give them out. They are wonderful corporate gifts, awesome gifts for your best clients. FinchKnifeCo.com. Amini's Galleria is online at Amini's.com or 105th and Metcalf. It is furniture season. They've got sales going on right now and 0% financing on the best patio furniture anywhere. Amini's in Overland Park, St. Louis, Tulsa, Oklahoma City, or always online at Amini's.com. Our final is social media activists in and around Kansas City, and some of them nationally, upset with the destruction of the Buck O'Neill Bridge. Have you seen the video from Monday of the Buck O'Neill Bridge going down? You know, they put the explosives on it. A link falls right down. It fell down onto a lot of gravel and some water and whatever over the river, over the Missouri River. They're taking the bridge down. And when the charge went off, some buildings, when you see them go down, there's a charge maybe at a lower level than a top level. Do they go down or up? But they're sequential. This wasn't. This was like 50 of them just going boom all at once. And down she fell. It was a perfect demolition of the bridge. People on social media are freaked out that birds died. They know they died because they could see some flying away when the explosives hit. If you were lucky enough to be on a middle beam away from the explosives, you flew away. If you were near one of the corner beams where it blew up, the birds died. I don't know what protocol is on a bridge demolition, but I know this. I don't care about the pigeons that died on the Buck O'Neill Bridge. If we're going to do that, what about the fish in the water? You don't think there was some big old sturgeon lurking down there that a beam fell on? Do we feel bad for the fish? Come on, man. These people, it's pretty funny. The radicals go on there and say they're worried about the birds or whatever, and then they just get demolished by other people. It's pretty funny to see from time to time. Never really thought of it. I guess there's a way. What are you going to do? Take all the nests out? Put chicken coop wire around the whole thing before you blow it up? Is that really what you're going to do? I don't think so. Sorry for the loss of some pigeons on the Buck O'Neill Bridge. Follow KKS Issues on X. Follow us and like us on Facebook. Repost, share, spread the word. Help us out. A great way to do it. So many of you have told people individually, this is a great way for you to do it on your iPhone or your Samsung. Just right there from the comfort of your home. Help spread the word. And Kevin Keatsman has issues.
Kevin Keatsman Has Issues has been presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC and is produced by Crooked Tail Media. Please hit the like or follow button wherever you listen or give us a review. For premium content, podcasts, and weekly newsletter, join as a patron at kkhasissues.com for as little as $5 a month. Support all our sponsors and other conservative businesses at thekklist.com.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.